So let's jump into the Word this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to be launching from this morning, Luke chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are so thankful, Father, that we have you, Lord. It's an amazing thing, Lord, to be in the hands of the Almighty God. This morning, Father, I pray through the power of your Word, Lord, that you'll get a hold of our hearts. Because, Lord, we need to hear this. We need the Holy Spirit to just churn this on the inside of us, Lord God. Because, Father, I believe sometimes there's a disconnect. And, Lord, this morning I pray, Father, that we as your people can connect with you as our God. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there is a lot of things that we do in our lives where a certain amount of distraction can really hurt us. Amen. There's some things that we really just need to focus on and give it our full attention. I mean, today we've got distracted driving. Anybody distracted driving? How many of y'all text while you drive? Don't raise your hands to that for sure. The fact of the matter is, I mean, we do all kinds of things. I mean, they say that you cannot eat a hamburger, french fries, and drink a pop while you're driving down the road, but I've proved that you can. And, we have distracted driving. We've got distracted parenting. Amen. I had a young lady in my office one time and she told me, she said that, you know, she basically grew up without a dad, even though her dad was in the home. He was busy building a business and he built a very successful, business. He was a very wealthy man, but he basically left his kids behind. He was distracted. He was always at the office. Amen. Listen, I've been guilty of that myself. God is a very merciful God, and He helped me with that. But we have distracted parenting. We've got distracted driving. There's all kinds of distractions in our life. I really believe this. I think sometimes those distractions literally are spiritual distractions. I think sometimes that the enemy of our soul distracts us as we try to move towards God. I can tell you that there's even distracted walking. Anybody ever had distracted walking before? Yeah? Yeah? There's distracted cooking. Yeah? We were fixing supper the other night and we had some toast in the oven under the broiler and you know, you have to watch it really pretty close. And we had flipped it so that it was going to do the other side and you know, I told Caleb, I said, you know, let's pay close attention to that. And neither one of us did. We were distracted. We were doing other things. And all of a sudden I realized, and we ate the toast anyway, but I'm telling you, it was right on the verge of being burnt. You know, it was right on the verge. Renee says she likes her toast that way, so we piled it all on her plate. So whenever I was in junior high, I was working as kind of an office aide, you know, running various things, going by and getting the absentee and, you know, cards off the doors. Some of you don't remember that, but I was walking down the hallway, and in our school, the hallway was next to the exterior wall, and the exterior wall had a bunch of windows in it that opened inside. There were still windows that just folded kind of halfway down, you know. And so I was walking and I was looking in every classroom as I was going by, you know, cause man, I like to see things. You know what I'm saying? I like to get the juicy stuff. So I'm walking and I ran into one of those windows and that was actually pierced my ear. It went all the way through my ear into my head and, distracted walking. This morning I want to talk to you about distracted Christianity. Distracted Christianity. I think there's a lot of things out there that distract us from the Christian life. A lot of things that distract us from God. And so this morning, I know that you may, as you look at this text, you may go, this is not, has anything to do with it, but just bear with me. So let's go to Luke chapter 5 and let's begin reading with verse number 1. It said, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he had said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish in their nets, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now we read this text this morning out of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. The word gospel means good news. How many of y'all knew that? Good news. It means good news, super good news. Because it's all about Jesus. So you could say this morning that this message out of the Gospel of Luke is good news. Amen? So you could probably say that this sermon this morning from the Gospel of Luke is good news. Amen? So what exactly is good news? Because sometimes good news to some are not necessarily good news to others. Amen? I mean, you could come in and say, "I'm pregnant," and you know, it's your 49th kid, and you go, "Oh no." But whenever your wife comes in and says, "I'm expecting," and you know, it's your first child, you know, that's good news. So this morning, you know, what is good news? Simply put, I believe that the good news that you and I are going to be talking about this morning is literally the story of Jesus Christ. That's what the good news is. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ is without a shadow of doubt the most influential person that has ever existed on this planet. And everyone should say amen right there. See, even if you're not a Christian, or maybe even if you're not particularly a religious person, you can't deny the fact that nobody in history has affected all of humanity more than Jesus Christ. So since Jesus has affected the world so deeply, you would think that all of us would know a lot about him. I mean, we would. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I've been in the kingdom a long time. As I look at some of you in this room, I know you've been in the kingdom a long time. I mean, we come to church every Sunday morning, and I'm saying that we ought to know a lot about him. For heaven's sakes, we declare ourselves as one nation under God. Amen? A Christian nation. So you would think that the nation of the United States of America would know a lot about Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, that is not true. It's not true anymore. Many people claim to know about Jesus, but in reality, few people really know Jesus. Amen? I mean, I was thinking about this message, and yesterday a team of folks from our church went to Asheville and participated in a retreat there. And the man who was teaching was my former pastor, and he mentioned the name of John Maxwell a few times. How many of you all have ever heard of John Maxwell? John Maxwell is a leadership guru in Christianity and in the secular world as well. He's very well known. Written multiple books. And whenever I was with my former senior pastor, one of the things is I got to deal with John Maxwell quite often because he would come to our church and teach various things and minister to the staff. And, I've sat next to him eating lunch. And so I'm pretty big shot here. I know John Maxwell. You know, I can tell you, I know John Maxwell. But you want me to just be straight with you? I really don't know John Maxwell. I mean, I know who he is. I've been around him, listened to a lot of his stuff. But I really don't know John Maxwell. Are y'all ready? I've seen him in, you know, business settings. I've seen him, you know, in a few personal settings. But I really don't know him. I think many times we're like that as Christians. Well, I know Jesus. I really know Jesus. Let me just tell you something. I know Renee Watson. I know her. Man, I can look at her face and I can tell you what's going on. I would tell you I can read her mind occasionally, but that's her job on me. Y'all understand? She knows me. I know her. I mean, we know everything about each other. I mean, we don't have any secrets. And so this morning, a lot of times I think people, they come to church on Sunday mornings, they go to Sunday school, they may participate in various church functions, but unfortunately the reality is there's a lot of people that are going to all of these things that really don't know Jesus Christ. They know of Him. They know He's a Savior. They know that He died on the cross. They know that 3 days after He died, He was rose from the dead. Are y'all there with me? But they really don't know who Jesus is. The Gospel of Luke details literally a whole lot of the events of Jesus' life, from His birth to His death to His cross to the resurrection and so on. Luke was written by this guy that was a Gentile. It was written from a Gentile to a Gentile audience. And so since the vast majority of folks in this room listening to this message are Gentiles, I think it's very appropriate that we study out of this gospel this morning. So whenever you jump to the fifth chapter of Luke and you read the passage that we just read, and you begin to think about it, still really relatively at the front of Jesus' ministry. Are y'all there with me? I mean, He's been baptized in the River Jordan. I mean, man, this is my Son whom I am well pleased. That came out of heaven, man. Whew. Dads, I got to tell you something. We need to tell our children that we're proud of them and that we're pleased with them. The Heavenly Father actually set that precedent for us. Amen? Baptized in the River Jordan. By the way, that last thing was not in my notes. It just popped in my head. Tempted by the devil in the desert. He was rejected by his hometown. He had performed a few miracles. But now he's getting ready really to launch his public ministry. So that's what happens in Luke chapter 5. And I really believe whenever you read Luke chapter 5, there's some keys in that scripture, in that passage of scripture, that's going to help us to understand that many times we go through our day, we go through our weeks, we go through our months, we go through our year, and we are very distracted as it comes to living our lives out for Jesus Christ. First thing that we look at whenever we see this text is that Jesus was ministering to a crowd. Amen? He had a crowd. This crowd was so big, so large, that it was literally pressing on him to the point to where I believe it was kind of pushing him back in the water. He was at the very shore of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. He was right there, and I mean the crowd was so intense that it was forcing him back towards the water's edge. So the one thing that you got to see in this passage is that he was ministering to a crowd, but we also got to see another thing. He was also ministering to an individual. Now, if you read this text through and you just go, oh, well, yeah, but he was ministering that whole crowd. Yeah, he was, but he was also very specifically ministering to one individual. Jesus was teaching along the shore of this lake, and this huge crowd ministering to, speaking into their lives. But he sees these two boats. Crowds pushing on him. He sees these two boats along the shoreline, and he literally, without asking or anything, he basically goes and he gets in to one of these boats. Okay, now remember, there's two of these boats. So he gets into the one. Why did he get into that one instead of the other one? Have you ever thought about that? Well, remember this, as Jesus' ministry progresses, one of the things that he says is he says, I don't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. In other words, through the deposit of the Holy Spirit into his life, that Jesus heard what the Father wanted him to speak and he spoke it. But he also said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. So under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Father says, Jesus, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. So everything that Jesus does is ordered by God. Amen? So he gets into this one boat, and believe me, he did it on purpose. It wasn't a 50-50 chance. I'm telling you, there was this one boat that he needed to get in, and he got in this boat. It was owned by this guy named Simon. Simon. Now, I have a really difficult time calling him Simon because he went through a name change just a little while after this, and his name became Peter, the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter. Wow. So from now on, I'm probably going to call him Peter. So he asked Peter, he says, would you put your boat out a little from the shore? And so Peter complied. Now, I'm just saying, this is a little weird. Peter's a fisherman. This is his business here. And some guy gets in his boat and says, will you come get in the boat with me and launch us out into the water a little ways? And Peter just did it. So you got to ask yourself the question, okay, why did Jesus do all this that he did? Well, I think there was a couple of reasons. I think, first of all, there was a practical reason. I think the crowd was pressing on him, and this allowed him to have a little breathing room to teach. I want to tell you, it's hard to teach whenever everybody's right around you, especially whenever there's people behind you. It's hard to teach. And so Jesus launches out so that he can have a little breathing room. There's plenty of places on the shore of Galilee or the Lake Gennesaret that there is literally a natural amphitheater made by the configuration of the land. It's very possible that he was right in the middle of one of these things, because if he's teaching a crowd, you have to understand he doesn't have a microphone like I have. He's teaching them with just his voice. He doesn't have a megaphone. He doesn't have any of those assistants. But I will tell you that the natural amphitheaters that are all around the Sea of Galilee, they work very, very well. There is a physics to the travel of sound. And I was amazed, because I stood at the very place where they believed he preached the Sermon on the Mount. And you can stand 100 yards away and speak, and you can still be heard up at the top of the hill. It's amazing. And so we think that probably Jesus, a very practical reason for launching out, the people were all over him, so on and so forth. But I believe there was another reason as well. I believe that Jesus did this on purpose because of Peter. I think he could have just kept teaching right where he was and been fine. But I think this was all about Peter. That's my opinion. I can't prove it scripturally, but let's just go through this a little further, and maybe you'll join me in that opinion. I believe Jesus saw potential in the Apostle Peter. I believe Jesus literally knew that someday that the Apostle Peter, or excuse me, that Peter would become the Apostle Peter. I believe that he's seen that literally Peter would become someone who would literally change the world with the message of the gospel. That's what Peter was. St. Peter's Basilica. You can think anything you want, but I'm telling you, Peter had a profound impact on the world as it was whenever he lived. The Apostle Peter literally walked down a street, and as his shadow casts over sick and lame and diseased people, they were healed by his shadow. Are y'all there with me? I mean, the Apostle Peter, here he is a fisherman, but yet Jesus sees that this man has such potential in him, and that potential has to be turned so as that it helps the kingdom. But before Peter, well, let me start back here. Before Simon could become Peter, and Peter become the Apostle Peter, Peter first had to become the disciple Peter. The disciple just means a follower of Jesus. And to do this, I really believe that Jesus needed to get Peter's attention. In fact, let me just say it like this. I think Jesus needed to get Peter's undivided attention. Because we can divide our attention, amen? How many of y'all can listen to two things at once successfully? Every mom ought to have your hand up right now. As you can listen to about 18 things at once. And dads are sitting there going, I have no idea what's going on. And mom says, well, she needs that. He needs this. He needs this over here. And we got to do that. And the dog needs to be let out. He needed Peter's undivided attention. I think to understand this a little bit further, we got to look at the verse number 2. He said, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So what was Peter doing while Jesus was teaching? Y'all there? What was he doing while Jesus was teaching? He was washing his nets. Peter was working. And I have no doubt that Peter was a very spiritual man. I believe that he recognized Jesus as a very gifted rabbi. I know that part of him probably really wanted to listen to Jesus. But he also knew that there was a lot of work to be done. Now, is anybody in here besides myself aware of the fact there's always a lot of stuff that needs to be done? Amen? There's always a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I was sitting in my office this morning and I began to write some notes to myself for tomorrow as to things that need to be done on Monday. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's not Monday yet. And I just had to put it away because I knew exactly what that meant. I had a little space there and I thought, well, I can do 10 minutes of Monday's job. Peter had a lot of work to do. There was a lot of stuff to do. And so I believe this. I think that the Apostle Peter was only partially listening to what Jesus was saying. His attention was divided. And so I have to ask the question, is anybody in this room besides myself, are anybody in this room besides myself, can you relate to this? Only partially listening. Your attention was divided. Have you ever gotten so caught up in your life that you were only partially paying attention to God? I've been caught before not paying attention to my wife. I could see her lips moving. I could. And I was doing my best to act like I heard every word she was saying. I could hear something in the atmosphere. Are y'all there? But you know, here's the reality of a lot of situations like that. It came to a close and she said, so what do you think? And I don't know whether to answer yes or no right there. Are y'all with me? Goodness gracious. Now, since I'm pressing real hard on 60, I can kind of chalk it up sometimes to not being able to hear what she said. I wish she was not listening right now. But I say things like, now what did you say? I didn't hear it. And that's true. I didn't. And the reason why I didn't hear it is because I wasn't listening. My mind was distracted. I was trying to listen to the next clue on Jeopardy instead of listening. I wanted to hear what Alex had to say. Are y'all there with me? Anybody ever got caught doing this? I mean, because there's been a few times in my life, she has caught me red-handed. She said, you weren't listening to a word I said, were you? And I said, well, yes, I was. Well, then answer me. Well, I got to pray about that. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to have distracted driving. The other day I was on my way back to work from lunch and I got to tell you, I was in deep thought. Now, nobody in this room needs to ask me how deep it was because my deep may not be as deep as yours, but I'm telling you, I was somewhere else and I was driving my vehicle and all of a sudden I'm going down the road and I realized that I'm not where I thought I should be. And this is the question that came to my mind. I said, did I stop at that stop sign right back there or did I just go through it? I mean, seriously, I could not remember 25 seconds ago stopping at the stop sign. I didn't remember looking both ways. I didn't remember anything. I thought, good grief, you just drove through that stoplight. I mean, stop sign. Distracted. I've had this experience way too often. But this is where I believe sometimes we find ourselves, the pressures of life. Anybody familiar with that? The pressures of life, sometimes they seem so overwhelming, and it's so easy to give God the back seat while we take care of things. That's as easy as I can say it. We tell ourselves this. We say, well, I'll make it up when things slow down. I've been promising my wife for 39 years I was going to do that. Whenever things slow down. But is there any of you in this room that can join with me and make this declarative statement? They don't ever seem to slow down. Amen? But a lot of times what we do with God is we put God on the back burner. We put Him in the back seat whenever we know full well we shouldn't. But yet we do that and we just go, God, I'm going to make this up to You. I'm not doing this intentionally, but man, I've got this to deal with and this to deal with. I've got this problem over here. I've got all of these things. And folks, we seem to never be able to slow down enough to make up any kind of ground. So while we have this very good intentions, because see, I don't believe anybody in this room would say, Pastor, it is my intention to put God in the back seat. I don't think any of us want that. I don't think any of us want to ever make this confession and it be true that, yes, I definitely want God being second or God being third. I think all of us in here want God to be number one. But so often we have these good intentions. We want God to be right in our lives, but the reality of our lives are very different. And I believe that Peter had good intentions as well, but I believe Jesus wanted more. Jesus wanted Peter's full attention. So He took Peter away from his nets to pilot the boat. Peter had to sit there real close proximity to Jesus and listen. See, I love to sit in the back because I like to do things that nobody else can see. And yesterday at this conference we went to, guess where our table was? At the very front of the sanctuary, right there. And I came in a little bit late because I was talking to a few people. And by the time I got there, the whole rest of our church had, our church people had taken all the seats that were even at the back of the tables. And so I had to sit literally right. I mean, thank you, Robin and Mike, because you were a little buffer zone. But man, I'm scared of my former pastor. I'm scared of him. And he talked to me several times. He looked right at me like he knew. I'll tell you something. There wasn't no sleeping at my table. No siree. Now, some of them people in the back, I didn't check, but I bet you some of them were back there goofing off. Just goofing off. Peter was right there at the front, man. Jesus is probably within, two or three feet of him. And Peter had to pay attention. He had to pay attention. He had to give his full attention to Jesus Christ. And so this morning, think for a minute what's happening. Jesus is teaching the crowds, but He's also focusing on this one individual person. So in verse number 4, it says, whenever He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, He said to Peter, He said, put out into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch. And so, you know, you got to look at this and you got to know that Jesus is doing everything that He's doing via the orders of His Heavenly Father. And there is something very important taking place here. So Jesus has finished speaking to the crowd. And now He focuses on Peter. And you got to think about this moment for a minute. The crowd that followed Jesus was full of lost people. People that needed to hear the message that Jesus was speaking. I don't know how long Jesus was teaching them, but I do know that there were plenty of things left for people to learn. They needed to hear more. But Jesus stopped and he quit teaching the crowd and He turned to Peter. Peter. I want us all to figure this out. Jesus is indeed very interested in the crowds, in the masses. I believe that. But I believe this as well. He's interested in every one of us individually. Oh, he's interested in Trinity as a body of believers, yes. He's interested in your family as a group, yes. But he is interested in you. And this morning, we've got to have that as a takeaway from this message. Never forget that not only is Jesus interested in the masses, but he's interested in you. And so Jesus, I believe, purposely chose Peter's boat and then got Peter away from the distractions that were keeping him from focusing on what Jesus was saying. And I will tell you this, he wants to do the same thing to each of us. He wants some of us where we don't have any distractions at all, where we can just focus on him. Unfortunately, I don't believe any of you all are fishermen's by, you know, your occupation. You're not doing that for a living now. And so he's not going to call you away to a boat. Are y'all there? But he might call you to the front porch in the morning if you'll just set your alarm for 15 or 20 minutes earlier. And you can just go out to the front porch and just give him your undivided attention. See, the other day, whenever I found myself a mile down the road from where I last remembered I was, and believe me, it was not a translation like Philip. It was just I was lost somewhere else. I will tell you this. I was thinking about Jesus. It was about something that I had heard, and I was just really into it. I didn't have my radio on or my CD player, wasn't playing MP3s. I just had the car silent. I will tell you this. I really believe that God wants your undivided attention whenever you're in the car. And that doesn't mean that you quit focusing on driving, okay? Drive, be safe. Because if one of y'all come and get in an accident, you say, well, Pastor told me, focus on Jesus. So I ran into three cars. No? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I mean, so often we have become a people that cannot go 1 minute without some noise on around us. I mean, the TV doesn't always have to be on. We don't always have to have earbuds in our ears listening to some music. God wants us undivided. And this morning, that's really the whole basket. Everything is in this basket that God's saying, I just want you. You are an individual. I am so interested in you, and I want you to focus on me. I think Jesus wants the same for us as he got from Peter. Undivided attention. And you got to think about what happened in the life of Peter as a result of his undivided attention to Jesus. And then you got to think about what could happen in your own life if we would do the same. If God just had us undivided for just a little while, I just wonder what God could do in our own life. You see, because I believe Jesus is doing something else in the life of Peter that many times goes unnoticed. Jesus was moving the apostle Peter to a deeper understanding, a deeper experience with him. You see, because at the moment, if you look at verse number 4, Jesus is telling Peter, he said, I just want you to go out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Because now, up until this time, I really believe that the apostle Peter probably, or Peter, because he wasn't an apostle yet, I believe he looked at Jesus as probably a really good guy. I imagine that many of the things that Jesus said were very astounding to Peter. I believe that he probably said, man, he's just an awesome rabbi. Are y'all there with me? But you got to understand, Jesus is trying to change something about Peter. He wants Peter to have a deeper understanding of who he is. He wants Peter to have a deeper experience of who he is. Are y'all there with me? And so Jesus is leading him. And you got to understand, this is why we need to give Jesus our undivided attention. Because in that moment, whenever our attention is undivided, Jesus actually wants to take you deeper. He wants to bring a deeper understanding about who He is to your life. He wants to bring a deeper experience to you where you can walk away and you can go, man, I had no idea Jesus was like that. Because you see, that's what happened to the Apostle Peter whenever he walked away from this experience. He said, man, I had no idea, but now I know. You go back to verse number 4, I said, he tells Peter, he says, go out into the deep water, let down your nets. And I love Peter's response to this. Peter was he's a self-made businessman. Peter's tough. He's the guy that cut Malchus's ear off in the garden. We know that Peter is, you know, he's abrasive a lot of times. But this is what he says to Jesus. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught nothing. He says anything, but I thought nothing was better. He says, Master, he said, we fished all night. We just got in. I'm tired. We have been out all night long. We've been casting these nets. And he says, basically, we haven't caught anything. Are y'all there? But then he finishes the statement. He says, but because you said so, I will let down the nets. Now, I look at this and I'm thinking, you know, that it could be one of a couple of ways. Peter could be going, but because you said so, and he really meant it, are y'all there? We'll go do it. Or there could be a little patronizing tone in his voice. Have you ever done that? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Okay, I don't think it's going to work, but I'll do it. And if it blows up and kills us all, it's on you. So Peter, he knows, they fished the lake all night. The moon wasn't right. I don't know, the temperature wasn't right. He's a fisherman. He knows what he's doing. And yet he says to the Lord, he says, okay, I'll go ahead, move out into the deep water. I'll let down my nets because you told us to. But past that, I just don't know. Peter might have even been a little frustrated at this point. Think about this. His nets were still back on the bank, all dirty. That's what he was doing, washing them. And now Jesus has monopolized his time. He says, hey, come over here, get in the boat, launch out a little ways. Now I'm through preaching, let's go fishing. Are y'all there? Peter's going, man, I want to go to bed for heaven's sake. I've been up all night. I haven't had any breakfast. I haven't had my Starbucks yet today, and I would really like to have it. So he might have been a little frustrated. Jesus had taken him away from his work. He put him behind. But now this rabbi to Peter is telling him how to do his job. Think about that for just a moment. Yeah. He's telling Peter okay, you fished all night, but you must not have done a very good job of it. Let's go out into the deep water. Peter probably said, I want to see your fisherman's card. You're just a rabbi. Stick to rabbiing and I'll stick to fishing. But again, you have to begin to look at what happened in Peter's life as a result of giving Jesus his undivided attention. And I just got to begin to think in my own life, what could happen if I was able to give Jesus the same thing? So Jesus is doing all these things in Peter's life. He's moving Peter that deeper experience, that deeper understanding of who he is. And so now they get out into the deep water, and Jesus says, let down the nets for a catch. Man, I don't know, but what that might, I don't know if it, that might go all over me if I was a seasoned fisherman and I knew my job well. Is anybody besides me like that? I mean, if you know your trade well and you got somebody that doesn't know anything about your trade coming in and telling you how to do it, are y'all there with me? See, sometimes people that have never ever been in a pulpit, never ever pastored a church, they come to me and said, Pastor, you're doing it all wrong. You need to do this. And I say, you sell cars for a living. When did you ever learn how to pastor? I don't tell them that, but I want to. Are y'all there with me? I'm not saying I know everything, because I certainly don't. After yesterday's meeting, I found out I don't know hardly anything. But you know, Peter's being challenged here. He's a seasoned fisherman. And I don't think anybody could have blamed Peter for him just politely telling Jesus, would you just get out of my boat? I need to go back to work. I mean, honestly, I don't think anybody would have blamed him, but Peter decided to go along with what Jesus said for some reason or another. You see, Jesus has his undivided attention, and he begins to tell him these things that he needs to do, and Peter, for some reason, goes with Jesus' directives. I think that Peter might have done that just out of respect for Jesus being a rabbi, because that's the way they seen him. Jesus tells Peter, he says, now, Peter, let's go. Put our nets down, deep water. He told Peter to leave the shallow area. And now that's kind of, if you begin to understand Lake Gennesaret or the Galilean Sea, one of the things you have to begin to understand is most of the time the fish are going to be caught in the shallows. Are y'all there with me? The shallows, because that's where all the vegetation, that's where all the shoreline makes these undulations and so on, where it holds fish. And so in the shallow waters is where most often these fishermen would have been fishing. But yet, Peter is instructed to go deeper. Now, certainly there were fish in the shallow water, but it would have probably been a small catch. The shallow water catches probably can sustain life, but I will say this very carefully, they are not going to produce prosperity. And God wants to prosper you. Listen to me, church. He wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you across the board. There's no part of your life that God does not want to put His hand on and you come out better for that occasion. Are y'all there with me? He wants to prosper you in your finances. He wants to prosper your marriage. He wants to prosper the way you raise your kids. He wants to prosper you in His job, in your job. And the list just goes on and on. He wants to prosper your automobile. He wants your car to run longer than most cars would ever run. Come on. He wants to touch your life, and He wants to leave His fingerprints all over Him. He wanted to prosper the life of the Apostle Peter. Peter might be able to feed his family out of the shallow water, but I will tell you this. He could not make a good living in the shallows. He needed the catches out of the deep water, the big catches that were out there in the deep water, and Jesus wanted to take him to the deep water. I don't know how far it was to the deep water, but it's probably certainly took a little bit of time to get there. And I can imagine Peter feeling maybe totally frustrated. He's rowing out into the deep water. He's tired. He's probably a little bit cranky. He's thinking all the work that needs to be done before he can go to bed. I imagine that there might have even been this in his mind, that this is a total waste of time. See, we have prayer here on Monday nights, and obviously there are a whole lot of people in this congregation that feel like that prayer service is a total waste of time. Because we generally have 8, 6, 10. I'm just being mean, but I'm being honest. I'm being honest. You see, there's a lot of things that God commands us to do, and He wants us to walk through these things, but a lot of times we see them as, oh, that's a waste of time. Folks, there's people that think going to church is a waste of time. There's people that think that all kinds of things that relate to the ministry of Jesus Christ in our life is a waste of time. Studying the Word of God, praying, and the list just goes on and on and on. Some people don't think going to Sunday school is important. It's just a waste of time. But I got to tell you something. I cut my teeth on Sunday school. And if I hadn't gone to Sunday school whenever I first got involved with Jesus Christ, I wouldn't know half of what I know about the Bible today, because I learned it in Sunday school. Pears and spares. Y'all remember that class? Y'all weren't pears and spares. You were already married by the time. But Renee and I, we went to the pears and spares class. It's awesome. The Galloways taught it whenever we were there. Ray and Beth. Ray and Beth Galloway. Ray is crazy. You know that? Still is. But he was a good teacher. See, we get this idea of all these things as being non-important, but I tell you, Jesus sometimes believes it's very important, and all the time we're saying, well, I think it's a total waste of time. You see, going deep with Jesus is never a waste of time. Never, ever are you going to come out from an experience with Jesus Christ and say, man, I wasted my time. You see, if you are a person who wants all that God has for you, you're going to need to go deeper than you are right now. I will tell you, no matter how long you've been in the kingdom, no matter how many experiences that you've had with Jesus, no matter what maturity level you're on right now, God wants you to go deeper. You need to go deeper than you are now. And this is what I will tell you. You can survive in the shallow water, but you'll never prosper unless you go deep. So by giving Jesus his undivided attention, by hearing the voice of God and doing what God said, Jesus is doing an amazing thing in the Apostle Peter's life. I just can't quit calling him the Apostle Peter. Amanda, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I got one more point, and I think we've got to really understand this morning. Jesus gave Peter what Peter needed so that Peter could believe. You want to know the biggest problem that your pastor has? And I'm just being as real in this moment that I can possibly be. I have a very difficult time believing. I know this word. I've been a minister of the gospel for over 30 years, and I know it, but sometimes, you know, okay, let me say it like this, because some of y'all are going to call the headquarters and probably get my license taken away from me. No, I believe, but I don't believe. See, I believe that my wife's healing has already been bought and paid for. And it is hers. But there are those moments where I just tell you the truth here now. I just don't believe. But Jesus needed to get Peter's undivided attention. Because you see what happened in those moments is Peter walked away and he goes, whoa, I believe. I believe. I want that. You see, I want to believe. I want to believe. Jesus gave Peter what he needed so that he could believe. The Bible says when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, listen to what he did. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." You see that there was something that happened in that boat. Peter goes from probably an unwilling participant. Oh man, he's in my boat. Oh man, he's asking me to push out. Oh man, now he's trying to tell me how to fish. And all he is just a rabbi. You see, he went from that to going, "I am a sinful man, Lord." Lord, he called him Lord. You see, there, that's a leap, folks. I'm telling you, that's a leap from here to the moon for him. You see, it was Peter that piped up and he said, "Yeah, you are the Son of the Living God. That's who you are." You see, all that revelation came to him right here whenever Jesus got the Apostle Peter alone. Undivided attention. Jesus met Peter where he was. And he gave him exactly what he needed to believe. I will tell you, I don't even think Peter was expecting anything out of this whole interaction. Are y'all with me? I don't think he was expecting it. But he got it. Because Jesus got his undivided attention. He was not distracted in any way. He had to sit there on that boat and look up at this man named Jesus that was the Messiah, that was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing in his boat. The Creator of all creation was standing in his boat. And he just thought he was a rabbi, an irritant, a very pushy, bossy guy. But he came away from that experience with a boatload of fish, because Jesus' plan for Peter's life was to take him deeper. And now, church, this morning, we can allow every distraction this world has to offer to keep us from that deep water. Or we can make time and give God our full and total, undistracted attention. As I close this morning, Peter came away saying, "Lord." There are some of you in this room that need to come away saying, "Healer. I know him as healer. He touched my physical body and I am healed." There's some of you in this room that need to come away from an experience with Jesus Christ and know him as provider. You know, he's Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. Some of you in this room need to realize him as the reconciler, because he reconciles relationships that are broken and damaged. Relationships between parents and children, between husbands and wives, between other family members, and the list just goes right on. This morning, see, God just wants us for a moment just to give him our undivided attention. And so, I'm just going to ask, is there anybody in this room that would just take these next few minutes and you would forget about being here at church? You'd just pretend like you're out in the woods somewhere. And if you don't like that, just pretend you were in the city somewhere, but there wasn't anybody around you. And you just found a place to kneel down and just give him your full attention. Forget about the music that's being played. Forget about who's next to you, but just say, "Jesus, I'm here." And in the same way that Peter gave you his undivided attention, I'm going to give you mine. I'm telling you, folks, you cannot prosper in the shallow water. You got to allow him to take you deeper than you are today. That's where spiritual prosperity is. And my prayer for each one of you is that you would prosper. That you would prosper in every way. That your soul would prosper. But I will tell you, all prosperity is wound up in Jesus, the Son of the living God. If you have a need this morning, and you just want to come and just place it at the feet of Jesus and say, "Jesus, I'm here. You know where I'm at with my family, my health, my finances. You know where I'm at spiritually, Jesus. And I'm just going to give you my undivided attention." Would you just step out of your seats wherever you are and just come and find a place around these altars? Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Peter allowed Jesus to take him away to a place where he could give Jesus his full attention. And right now, that's what we're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. There's not going to be a dismissal this morning. I want those that are at this altar to spend as much time as you want. We're not going to pray a prayer dismissal. If you need to go, I'm just going to ask you to go. But if you're at this altar, I want you to take the time that you need to hear from Jesus and then do exactly as he has said to do, because he wants to take you to the deep, deep waters. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.